Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour. Sports Talk on a Thursday. Tomorrow is our last day until a week from Monday. Yeah. Little R&R, little vacay time. Thanks for tuning in. Fun couple hours. 5 o'clock hour. You think you could live up to the 3 and 4 o'clock hour? Talked with Matt LePay, the play-by-play man of Wisconsin, offered up some great insight for Badger football. We talked with Rob Mosley, the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com, last hour. Talked a little women's hoop, talked a little men's hoops, and a whole bunch of Duck football. And looking ahead to this hour, well, it's me and Nick. I know that's a come down. I know you're a little sad, but try to make it go. My money's on you. My money's on us. 284. Oh, yeah. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Tomorrow we got things going on as well. Aaron Fentress of The Athletic, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports running the numbers. Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated will join us. We'll have a tool shed. We'll have tomorrow, technically, we're going to make Sports Talk / Crunch Time the Festivus edition because I got a lot of problems with you people. Hey, interesting tweet from Jordan Kent today. He said, he wanted to know what you would look to as the Oregon Duck football play of the decade. And the interesting part of that is, the first one that popped into my mind, well, a lot of people, and you see it on Duck Vision, the Rose Bowl recovery when they played Wisconsin with Chip Kelly skying a good inch into the air as the ball was recovered. I was thinking of 2014 as high as hopes were. Michigan came to Autzen. And they were having their way. If you remember, it was 26-17, middle of the third quarter. Marcus Mariota had just been sacked. That was a really good MSU defense. And on 3rd and 10, Mariota was flushed from the pocket, and he threw that shovel pass to Royce Freeman. That led to a Devin Allen touchdown catch, and that was it. Remember, Oregon was down 26-17 and won the game. By scoring the next 28 points. They end up winning that thing going away. They go 3 and out right there and punt. And Michigan State comes down and scores. Is it illogical to think that the game and perhaps the season heads in another direction? I know a lot of people, and I can already sense it, Dyer was down. But... no, that was January 2011. It was the 2010 season. So it actually was the start of the decade. See, the decade, early part, I wonder if people in like 1900 through 1919 went through the same problems. So what are we, a new century, a new decade? What's going on here? I'm very confused. The sports shows back then, ending with, so what'd you think of the Black Sox scandal? What's this going to carry us into the 1920s? Well, the World War One is over. It should be a glorious time. Now we got to worry about these idiots throwing the World Series. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, not the worst idea ever. Go to 1929, 1939, 1949, and just see what would be the hot sports talk topics of those days. I'm in. This could be good for our limited.
We're going to need a lot of time to fill next week for our 2 days before the Rose
Bowl. Telling you,
when we're not talking
shows.
Oregon football, yeah, let's talk about the 1919s.
Yes, sports. The 1919s, 1929. Bill Tilden winning the U.S. Open is just spectacular. All right, to the Oregon.
The forward pass.
Who was also, I believe, a horse that won the 1968 Preakness. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Yeah. Hi, Steve Gannon. Steven Baroni. I want to say congratulations on Sabrina and the Oregon Ducks. Are doing an awesome job. And aloha to Marcus Marotta. And I congratulate Mario Cristobal for doing a good job being a head coach for the football team.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steven. I was wrong. I knew I had the year right. Forward pass was a thoroughbred. The first horse ever to be awarded a Triple Crown race through disqualification. Finished second in the Derby. The horse ahead of him got disqualified, and he did win the Preakness Stakes in 1968, the follow-up. So you got that going for you, which is nice. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Bill. Bill, good afternoon. How's it going?
Not bad yourself, I hope also.
Thank you. So, awesome.
So play of the decade for me, just because of the impact it had on us nationally, would actually be Jameis Winston on his butt with the ball being scooped and squared.
Tony Washington, scoop and score.
Go.
All right. By the way, that's getting a lot of love, so good one, Bill.
All right, thank you.
And there's a text. Jameis Winston fumble in the first college football playoff game. That's interesting. I kind of forget that it's like there's never been a playoff. Oh. They're kicking the crap out of the defending national champs, and Winston is just, for no apparent reason, although...
Like Jameis Winston's never turned the ball over
before. Well, I was just going to say, had we known what he was going to become, kind of a human turnover machine at the professional level might not have been all that shocking. Feel like it's easy to say there. I did want to talk a little bit about the Oregon men's basketball team performance last night. While I don't think anybody was going into that game thinking, uh-oh, I mean, undersized, it's Montana, not to be dismissive. This is a really good Oregon team. But to see Nafali Dante for the first time end up with 11 points in 14 minutes and just put his physicality, athleticism, and skill set on display. I guarantee you there are a bunch of coaches and players around the Pac-12 who looked at that game and said, so they're going to be a little different now. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So yeah, right now, the plays that are getting the most coverage for the play of the decade, an idea I'm stealing from Jordan Kent's Twitter timeline. Dyer, the infamous Jameis fumble that Tony Washington scooped and scored on. A couple of you have remarked on my play, the Marcus Mariota shovel pass to Royce Freeman in the 2014 Michigan game. And let's not forget, the last game Chip Kelly coached was 2013 Fiesta Bowl, and that game started with DeAnthony Thomas going to house with the kickoff. That might right now be the co-leader with the infamous Jameis fumble. And I'll be perfectly honest, right off the top of my head, I don't know if I could think of it. Oh, yes, I could. Somebody mentioned it earlier. Joe Walker, also 2014, when Kalen Clay gave up on the ball a little early, and Joe Walker returned it for the 99-100 yards, whatever it was, changed the complexion of that game and ended up Ducks with a smoke show victory over the Utes. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Tobiah. Tobiah, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, great, Steve. How you doing?
All right, what's up?
Hey, so I wanted to comment on Nefali Dante. So I went to that game last night, and something that obviously didn't make the broadcast in shoot around. Now, obviously, Nefali's, you know, incredible inside, you know, amazing big man, but that guy was draining threes like Anthony Mathis in shoot around. I mean, the guy was absolutely incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he hit about three in a row before they switched over to another drill.
Okay, well, that's a little something to kind of pile on. I'm sure the folks that are looking forward to defending Oregon is like, oh, really? We actually have to guard that guy on the perimeter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a big man his size, you know, you're used to seeing a big, you know, clumsy 7-footer out there, you know, 6'11 guy out there. But, I mean, he was athletic. He was jumping around like a, you know, 6'3 guy, and he was draining threes. He was incredible. I've never seen a guy like him.
Nice. All right. Hey, appreciate you checking in. You know what? Our running joke about the decades melding. So I'm on Jordan Kent's Twitter timeline, and people are asking for the play of the decade, Ed Dixon's catch against Arizona. Yeah, that's 2009. Somebody tweeted at him, how about the Dennis Dixon, Jonathan Stewart Statue of Liberty plays in the fake? Yeah, that was 2007. So try and remain in the same decade if y'all can. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year is Jake Luton of Oregon State. So a pretty nice accolade there for the big gunslinger from OSU. Hey, I'm not usually big on this at all. I saw kind of a mock-up of the unis that Oregon's going to wear in the Rose Bowl. What?
Those are mock-up of potential unis.
Oh, really?
Those the ones from at Duck subreddit? If you actually,
I don't remember where I saw it.
Okay, well, if you had read the tweet, it was one of the members of the Ducks, Oregon Duck Sports, really, subreddit, had a mock-up because of all of the little hints and teases that have been thrown about on Twitter about Oregon possibly bringing throwbacks back for the for the Rose Bowl 25 years since
the first
Rose Bowl they went to, that kind of thing. And so somebody was saying, hey, here's kind of what I think they could go with. So it looks very similar to the uniforms worn against UW in Marcus's Heisman year, 2014, with the Rose Bowl patch. One of them's got the big Rose Bowl emblems on the shoulders. So those are mock-ups of what potentially Oregon might wear. They probably won't announce it until Monday or Tuesday, like the 30th, the 31st. I think they really want to keep this one under wraps.
Yeah, you're what I refer to as one of those people.
It's rude, first of all.
Who remember the uniforms they wore in a particular game.
I don't remember all of them. I remember one. Is it the time they were green?
It was the Cal game in 2009. They were throwbacks. They were the 98s, and I thought they were the coolest things I'd ever seen.
Well, yeah, they were throwbacks against UW, too.
I also have been seeing some really cool kicks that are available.
That's the similar thing, is they're the shoes that they got are like the Jordan brand shoes that are like based on shoes from like that era 25 years ago. And then they've got the colors of the jersey. And it's like, well, if you're going to tease us this much with all of this very throwback, faux-back feel with all of the uniforms, we better get some throwbacks in the Rose Bowl because it's kind of what everybody's expecting. Or it could be completely different. Nobody expected chrome helmets when they took on Wisconsin in 2012, and those were fantastic.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, my. It defined the program. Like, that's what the wings on the helmet now are based on, is the wings that were previously on the shoulders of the jerseys.
By the way,
them on the helmets.
Call me stupid.
Yes, you are.
But I thought maybe the program was more defined by winning the Rose Bowl,
no,
not their outfit.
Everything up until winning the Rose Bowl was the uniforms. Even still, it's all about the uniforms of Oregon.
You're
probably
insane.
Because they haven't won anything, but they still got the uniforms going for them. So until they win the national championship or win multiple Rose Bowls in a row or something like that, or make the playoffs again for the Pac-12, it all comes down to the
swoosh. Remember when they came out at Glendale for the Natty against Auburn from up on a press row, and I had to shield my eyes. Was it Day-Glow they were wearing on their feet, especially?
Volt Green.
What is it called?
It was Volt, V-O-L-T.
Volt. It was almost intimidating. It's like, I said to Justin, well, they don't even have the lights on. You could see those bad boys from, I guess it was a dome, you couldn't, but if the roof was open, the people living at the space station could have seen them bad boys. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up on the text line, 3210@24 on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for the show, for Nick at Rick Nodgers. Did I hear you refer to yourself as Rick Nodgers during one of the updates earlier?
Hey, you caught that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if anybody
in the back
would.
Of my mind.
Thanks for listening.
I got it.
To the first 6 seconds.
First time
of,
long time.
For the first 6 seconds of the update, yeah.
First time long time. So the folks at the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame have released their nominees for the 2020 class. And Kobe, Duncan, Garnett, in. The fact that they went Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Chris Bosh headline, no. And I'm not saying Bosh isn't going to someday be a Hall of Famer, but you cannot act like he's their equal. Nespa. We won't learn who the finalists will be. I mean, 50 got nominated by the North American Committee for Enshrinement. And the official inductees, those three, and perhaps a couple more, we learn about when the final four moves to Atlanta in April. That's when they make that announcement. First-timers this year, Richard Hamilton, Tim Hardaway, maybe Chauncey Billups. I'm sorry. These aren't first-timers. The other first-timers are Michael Finley, Sean Marion, Buck Williams. Love Buck. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. He was a part of those two Blazer teams that made the NBA Finals in 90 and 92. I mean, I remember when Buck played at Maryland, when the ACC kind of ruled back in the late 70s and 80s, before Coach K was at Duke. He was with the Nets, and he was just a tenacious rebounder. I mean, his first 5-6 years in the league, I mean, he averaged 12 rebounds a game. His career average, even though he played, his last season was actually with the Knicks in the late 90s. He ended up with a career average of double-digit rebounds, but he was a rookie of the year. As far as all-league, he was all NBA early in his career once. He was a second teamer, but he was all NBA, all defense four times, two first teamers, two second teamers. During the prime of his career, he was an incredibly durable player. I mean, his first 6 seasons in the NBA, he missed a game. So, well, yeah, he played 82, missed one, then three straight 82s. And then even at 34 years old, the 95 Blazers, he played in all 82. He did it on the 93 team, the 90 team. I mean, you get a guy like that, and he plays 82, 80, 80, 82, 81, 82. There's a lunch pail guy. He's what Bill Parcells would have referred to as one of his lunch pail guys. And he was part of a trade. If Blazer fans, if you're listening, when they finally gave up on Sam Bowie, 1989. And also a guy who was a first-round pick. They gave up a first-round pick who would become Mookie Blaylock. I mean, he was the third overall pick in his draft in 1981. Buck was a hell of a player. I just don't know if I feel like calling him a Hall of Famer. I mean, in his draft, there was Mark Aguirre, Isaiah Thomas, Orlando Blackman. His Maryland teammate, Bernard King's brother, Albert. Some other good players in that, Kelly Trepuka out of Notre Dame. Larry Nance, one of the great dunkers of all time. Danny Ainge was a second rounder. You know, you go back so far that Danny Ainge was the 31st overall pick, but he was the eighth pick of the second round. By Celtics. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take one call before a break. Let's bring in Rob. Rob, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Thanks, Steve. Like you, I've got one more day at work.
All right.
So, feeling pretty good. I was just calling to chime in on Buck Williams. Those are the guys the league are made of, you know. I mean, they just come to work, get their job done. He's practically Cal Ripken Jr. for how durable he was. But he's a great player, but that's not a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, he's worthy of a mention, but then you realize where he belongs in the hierarchy. It's, you know, great guy, everything you mentioned, but Hall of Famer, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. And one quick question, what did the horse get disqualified for?
I'd have to double check. It was a little while ago, but I would imagine, you know, obstruction or bearing out too far or impeding the path. I'd have to double check on that.
We need the other Steve. You know, he knows off the top of his head.
Yeah, I guarantee if he's out there listening, especially if he's in his car, he's probably yelling the answer at the radio.
Probably. Thank you.
Have a good one. Of course, now I'm going to have to find out what the hell happened here. But all right. Before we break, our triumvirate of pubs provide you a great hang and always a lot of fun. Of course, I'm talking about Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, with the biggest tap list in town, 81 strong. And Public House, if you haven't checked it out, what an amazing space out on A Street in Springfield. And with Beer Garden on West 6th as you hit the Wit and Public House, they have the really cool outside hangs that are both enclosed and heated. By the way, all of them are closed Christmas Day, so this coming Wednesday, and Beer Garden live music tonight and Saturday, 7:30. It's all ages, never a cover charge. Their back patio is their outside hang with the food and heated, fully enclosed. Again, publichousehub.com online, beergardenme.com online, tapandgrowler.com online. Like them all on Facebook, follow on Twitter, and we greatly appreciate Colby and all the great folks at the trio of fabulous pubs. All right, break time. Come back. We'll have an update and maybe some more Duck hoops and some NBA as well. And why was there a disqualification in the 1968 Kentucky Derby? Next, 95-3 The Score.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
And at the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
And is there a tree?
No, instead there's a pole. Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Is that the fault?
George, Festivus is your heritage. It's part of who you are.
That's why I hate it.
That's why I hate it. Yeah.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. 95.3 The Score. Yeah. I've created a monster. Yeah. That monster's name is Nick. For those of you who didn't catch on earlier,
you know, I went through this in 82.
This is Mark Davis. Could you play the whole cut? Could I set the stage first? So Mark Davis is just slime. He has no soul. He has no decency. As you know, the last Raider game in Oakland was this Sunday, and they lost to whatever Jacksonville is. And,
did you say Denver?
No, I was trying to think of a really snide way to say Jacksonville. But in the aftermath, after a loss, after, you know, he's breaking a lot of hearts and making a lot of enemies leaving Oakland for Vegas, kind of like when his dad left Oakland for L.A. and then came back and they wondered why they weren't selling out. There are a lot of people like, yeah, we remember what happened 12 years ago. It wasn't, you know, in the Stone Age where there was no recorded time. So he was asked, you know, if what the emotion of the moment, or if he was feeling kind of, you know, being tugged at. And this was this guy's answer.
Any nostalgia for you at all, knowing that this is it here?
No, you know, I went through this in 82.
By the way, went through it in 82.
This stretch right here.
No, I mean,
he takes almost 5 seconds to get to no.
What a garbage human being. Not, look, I understand. Nah. I mean, you know what? I would say all of us can do better than that.
Garbage human being or honest garbage human being? Because he's not lying when he says he doesn't feel bad.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess.
That's better than him saying, oh, wow, this really sucks for the people of Oakland and Oakland Raider fans and everybody.
I could say a lot of truthful things that are awful.
Oh, right. But like at the same time.
No, he gets no credit for it. Awful gets no credit.
But if he's asked, do you feel any nostalgia? Oh, yeah, I'm really going to miss playing in this absolute beautiful stadium in Oakland and the people of Oakland. I'm going to miss all of you. No. That's his actual response.
Yeah.
That's just what he thinks.
What a laugh. He got called some nasty stuff on social media. And
Outrage.
He's worth $500 million. Oh, by the way, when he says he went through this in 1982, he was like 26. He wasn't a decision maker. None of us knew who Helmet Head was in 1982. We knew who Al was. And we knew who the front office people were and the coaches and the players. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't go through anything except... he seems like the classic guy who, if daddy wasn't born first, the only questions he'd be asking is if we'd like that supersized. So screw Mark Davis. That's a garbage take.
Yeah.
All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So somebody called earlier. I don't know how I wound up there. Oh, you mentioned the forward pass. And I said that was a horse who... I thought it had won the 1968 Preakness. It did, but it was it ran second in the Derby, and for the first time, the Derby winner got disqualified. And somebody said, "Why did he get disqualified?" And I was like, "I'd assume the regular deal, obstruction, bearing out, kind of getting in the path, dangerous riding." No. The reason Dancer's Image got disqualified, they do a post-race urinalysis for all the horses. Traces of phenylbutazone was discovered, and they took the winner and dropped it to last. Took a forward pass and moved it to first. That's kind of disgraceful. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Gary. Gary, good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, when you beat North Carolina, it's pretty hard not to be having a good day.
Yeah, they kind of kicked their rear ends. I mean, it's a shorthanded as hell North Carolina team who's kind of free-falling a little bit. But still, when you get a team like that to come to your place and it's national TV and you take it to them like that, yeah, that's a good win.
It's the best game that I've seen them play all year. They played the most in sync with each other. They had people come in off the bench and integrated smoothly and performed their function and scored or played defense. It just looked like this is going to be the best team that Mark Few has ever had.
Well, ironically, the best team he's ever had lost to North Carolina in the national championship game. It'll be going on 3 years ago. But, man, I'll tell you, that Kispert kid was on freaking fire last night.
Three-point line? What three-point line?
Yeah, what, he hit five
of six? I crossed over the half-court line.
Yeah, he had the most symmetric stat line. He was 10 of 12 from the field. Half of that is 5 of 6. That's how many threes he took. 26 points. What a performance.
Just another casual evening at the house.
Yeah, no, they're an interesting team. And like I said yesterday, they are going to crush everything in their path in the West Coast Conference. So they're ticketed for a 1 or 2 seed. And now see, because he's only got one more box to check.
There you go. Hey, I did have a quick question for you, something that I was thinking about the other day and I didn't have an answer to. And that is, have the goalposts ever been torn down at Autzen Stadium?
Yeah, the last time was when they beat UCLA homecoming 1990, and then they changed them. You can't take them down anymore. And if you ever see the end of a game, they have all the stadium security people surrounding it.
Well, I remember them instituting a program where they had the security people down there, and you couldn't go down onto the field until the game had been over for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Changed all that. But I couldn't remember a time that it happened, so thank you for jogging my memory.
Yeah, no, I just remembered. It was like the third game I ever went to, and we were up in the press box, and somebody goes, look, and you see them walking out of the stadium with the goalposts and across the footbridge. I was laughing for like an hour. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's great. Yep. I love that.
All right.
Well, listen, have a good one. I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gary. 28485. Oh, no, you know what? It wasn't on press row.
No.
It was in like a private suite because I remember I was into about my third vodka and tonic. So
that'll make anything funnier.
Not, yeah, but I had never seen it. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, they're it's gone. There's no goalposts anymore. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I think the way they're made now makes it impossible. And actually, you know, not to make fun at all, I think there was a horrific incident. I might check it during the break, where the goalpost was like flexible and it hit somebody like kind of a wang, a snapback. I think I remember somebody getting killed some years ago from that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, about to hit the home stretch with you. Yes.
I noticed at the 2012 Rose Bowl, because my dad and I, Goose and I went, and we ended up through the ticket lottery with seats in the third row behind the Oregon end zone. Well, I guess the end zone that DeAnthony Thomas was running away from when he scored like the 91-yarder.
Yeah.
So the other one. But anyways, we were so close that when the game ended and you know they were wheeling out the confetti cannons and they were getting ready for everything, but the goalposts are on like a hydraulic press thing. So somebody like, you know, comes up and unvelcros the big pad from the bar at the bottom, and then it's mechanically lowered down, and then there's like 9 security people standing around it.
Wow.
So so there's the whole line of security around the stadium trying to prevent people from rushing the field, and then there's even more people specifically around those goalposts as they're being lowered so that nobody like bends them and rips them and breaks them off. So I'd imagine they're expensive.
I don't think you go to eBay to get a goalpost. All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Larry. Larry, good afternoon. How's it going?
Going good, Steve.
So what's up?
Yeah, what I wanted to talk about, you're talking about goalposts. Back in the early 70s, I can't remember, 71, 72, I took my dad up to Corvallis, the Oregon-Oregon State game. And in those days, the late 60s and early 70s, the Beavers used to beat us like a rug. So we went up there to Corvallis, and Oregon ended up beating them really bad, 30-3. Well, there's about 45 seconds left in the game, and the fans, Oregon fans, went out and tore down the goalposts. And the Beaver bench come over, took off their helmets, and started beating on the guys that were taking Jeez. The goalposts down.
Oh, man. That must have been interesting. What?
Yeah, it was. It was.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. Beating on the people trying to, it's like there's 30 seconds to go. All right,
so I found one online for only about $1,300, but it doesn't seem to be life size. The actual like college football approved ones are about $8,200.
Where are you going to keep it?
In the ground, in a field to play football with, or to carry around with your buddies?
It's not like basketball where you play half court. You need two.
No, you can play half court or half field
half
football.
Half field?
Yeah. You reset after touchdowns. Loser walks, and then you kick back to the other team.
All right. I don't really think we're going to follow through with this. So with that said, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have the tweet of the day, and we'll wrap up sports talk on a Thursday. 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostford Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweets of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. Some news that we talked about earlier today as well from at Shams Sharina of The Athletic. I believe, is it The Athletic? Yahoo Sports? The Athletic. Nailed it. Potential number one pick James Wiseman of Memphis has left the university, will sign with an agent, and begin preparing for the 2020 draft. Following up on that is Roger Sherman, at Roger, had a very interesting take on all of this. Congratulations to the NCAA for successfully convincing yet another good basketball player to not play college basketball.
I saw it.
He followed that up by saying if Weissman and LaMelo go 1-2 in the draft, nobody is ever going to do a 1-1 year ever again. They're all just going to go pro. Like, why wouldn't you? You go pro in Europe, you literally get to make money, play basketball against pretty similar competition to avoid all of the hassle of the NCAA. Man, LaVar Ball of all people outsmarting college basketball somehow is shock of the decade, which won't have any impact until next decade, technically, when we realize it, but we need to know now. But our tweet of the day is not so refreshing, but it is some sad news that we wanted to pass along and kind of use tweet of the day for positive vibes and well wishings as well to at George Schroeder. He tweeted today that, quote, "I'm incredibly grateful to have had the opportunity these last 7 years to cover colleges for at USA Today Sports. After staff reductions, today is my last day. Thank you all for reading. I don't know what comes next, but I know God is good." Man, but Steve said during one of our breaks, he's like, can you imagine going to George Schroeder, one of the nicest human beings on the planet?
And one of the best at his job.
Right. And
incredible, consummate professional. We don't need you anymore. It's like, in essence, what you're saying is we want our organization to be lesser as of right now.
Man.
So pissed off and disgusted.
You're really going to tell George Schroeder, please don't work.
Right.
So, George, the positive vibes of the Sports Talk family here, all of the listeners as a BFF of the show, we hope you land on your feet. You get to do something fun and creative, maybe something else that you wanted to do or something you've never done before. We're wishing you the best in all of that, and we're sorry you had to get let go, laid off, fired today.
And by the way,
it's all very poopy.
A week before Christmas.
Right, also that.
Just look at just basic decency. Want to fire somebody? Fine. Even if it means waiting 8 days. I mean, just awful, 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 awful.
Not very
good. All right.
So thanks.
By the way, they're being jerks, and yeah, they just did it.
Right. But thanks to at George Schroeder for not. It's not refreshing that you were fired. It's refreshing that you're going to end up in a better place that will respect your talents. At George Schroeder. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. The station is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at 953 The Score. Don't be a jerk. Just do it. Choose kindness.
All right. So great tweet from at CFB on Fox College Football. They, the question is, their Twitter account, if you were a five-star recruit, which school would you pick? And it's from yesterday, but it's hashtagged, as you might imagine, signing day. And they picture six coaches in their school colors roaming the sideline. As you might imagine, the first two, Dabo, Clemson, Saban, Bama. Then they have Jim Harbaugh, and then two coaches who have their team as regulars in the playoff, Lincoln Riley, Ryan Bay. Those are five. The sixth, Mario Cristobal. I mean, if you don't think this program has gone from, will Oregon ever get back to, and I give you the flexibility to fill in the blank, when an outlet like this, and for the record, Fox College Football has 190,000 followers. As you might imagine, you know, some of the bigger names, Heather Dinich and those. And they decided to put Coach Cristobal on there as a destination coach. You know, for all the bad feelings surrounding the departure of Willie Taggart, man, if you look at the big picture, it's like, all right, so you survived, felt a little jilted, but thanks for bringing these guys. And we were talking with Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com earlier about this season and how actually impressive it's been that Oregon fans who were kind of a little down in the dumps after the Arizona State game. You know, Rob was talking about it was not a fun plane ride home from Tempe. And it seemed like almost simultaneously it was, all right, whatever, got to win the Civil War, got to focus on Utah. At the time, once Utah did their business and won their rivalry game against Colorado, and then it seemed like almost a cleansing among the fan base and even a lot of media with just the nature or the theme or the tone of the commentary. I was like, wow, this team won the North by four games and just physically and on the field beat the crap out of a good Utah team. Kind of like, oh yeah, the Rose Bowl. This is fun. And, you know, a consensual switch was hit, which kind of echoed the yay factor. And, now, everybody. And like I was talking with Rob, if you look at the history of the program, the problem is a lot of people think back to 07, 09, you know, 07 to maybe 14, where, you know, they were in the hunt for all kind of good things and accomplished great things. You know, even the season went sideways after the Dixon injury in 07. They wound up with a convincing win against South Florida in the Sun Bowl. Kelly's first year as the OC. You end up winning a Holiday Bowl, which, remember, in 2008, they weren't a regular in majors. Winning a Holiday Bowl was one of their most substantial postseason wins ever. And then, of course, the run from 09 to win the Rose, to get to the Rose, 10 to get to a Natty with an unbeaten perfect season, 11 to finally win their first Rose Bowl since World War I, Marcus's last year to win the Fiesta Bowl, go out in style. Then even 2013, you know, they were in it till late in the season and ended up winning the Alamo Bowl as the second-best team in the conference and crushing a blue blood like Texas, Coach Aliotti's swan song, and then, of course, Marcus and Heisman's and Natty. And, you know, for a program like Oregon, 5 years later, to be back in the top five, top six, playing in a Rose Bowl, killing it on the recruiting trail, to have kind of a slip back into the national conscience, pretty impressive stuff. All right, folks, tomorrow we're loaded for Bear. Jerry Thompson, Ducks Illustrated, Aaron Fentress, The Athletic, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. We'll have a little Festivus activity as well as a tool shed. And you, have a great night. Thanks for listening. Crunch Time, Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
He gone!
Yeah.